read the text.
I have to say that my daughter's name is Anaïs. I have the privilege to meet David in Santiago, I think 4 years ago. My English was worse in that time. He was patient with me when we tried to talk. In that time, he said to me, maybe in the future you could go to Colorado Springs and be in my home and in my church. God acts ways that we don't expect. And now I'm here in a very different situation. Now, like a pastor of, in the FEC church, FEC, it is a blessing for me this time in the United States. A lot of people don't like synods, but I like. And this time has been very great for me. I enjoy the hospitality now of David's family, but I feel the same with all the brothers in the synod and before in the presbytery. So I have to thank God for my time here in the United States and the things that God are making in my life. But I think it's more important we go to the Bible, because we will hear the words of God. Please open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 2. I will read from verse 4 to verse 17. These are the generations of heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, when no bush in the field was yet in the land, and no small plant in the field has yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land, and was gathering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for God, for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and become four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. He's the one that flowed around the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Velum and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to know and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Chapter 1 and the first three verses of chapter 2 are called preface of the big book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is divided in 10 histories, 10 family histories that began with the words, "These are the generations." In this case, the generations of heaven and the earth. These 10 family histories go from this one of the heavens and the earth to the history of the family of Jacob, who goes from chapter 37 to the end of the book, who end with the history of Joseph, with whom the people of God goes to Egypt. These histories show to the people that the God who is the creator of everything is the God of this nation. The first, or the preface, the first chapter of the book of Genesis talk about the creation of everything that exists, and the creation of one day in which we have to rest and glorify and worship our Lord. We have worship the Lord, who is the King, who protects His people. Today, the text that I read before talk more specifically about the creation of man and the place in which God put it in order that the man could worship our God. Because, why talk again about the creation of the man? It was not sufficient, or it was not enough, what Moses talked in the chapter 1 about the creation of the man. If the purpose of Moses was just to say that God created man, of course that verse was enough. But Moses wants to talk more about the creation of the man. Moses wants to say that the God who created everything is the God of Israel. That God that created everything makes everything to be the God of Israel, and that Israel were His people, and that Israel worship the Lord, creator of everything. And it's in that sense that we must read Genesis chapter 2. The purpose of this chapter is that we see that God wants to have a relationship with the man. And we can see this or that in the fact that in chapter 1, God is called the Elohim, that is the God that who has total power, is the Almighty. But in chapter 2, is called Yahweh, who is the God of the covenant, the God that have relation with His people. In this text, I want to take two ideas. The first one is to see what we are, and the second one is to ask why we exist. In verse 7, says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground." We see in these verses that the creation of the man, in this case specifically of Adam, is different than the creation of the rest of the other creation. The text says that the man was created from the dust of the land. Moses says here, or talk here about the work of a potter, and show the big difference that exists between the creator and the creature. This is used in other places of the scriptures. Isaiah 29:16 says, "You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay that the thing made shall say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" Jeremiah 18, number 4 says, "And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed God good to the potter to do." Moses wants that we remember always that we are created from the dust of the land, and that God is like a potter. We have to remember that difference always. If we would do that, we will have a better relation with God. In the same time, Paul says, "But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to his molders, 'Why have you made me like this?'" It's true that man is the crown of the creation, because he was created in the likeness and the image of God. But to know that we were created from the dust must call us to have a right concept of ourselves. John Calvin, commenting this text, says that glorify now the stupid in the excellence of his nature. If the man is created from the dust, he is nothing. He can't glorify himself. Calvin says too, who in this text don't learn humility must be excessive, very, very stupid. We must be humble. Remember the fact that we are created from the dust. Man is not the standard of all things. He can't live as he were independently of God. Each time that man has tried to be independent or sufficient has finished in tragedy. Man came from the dust of the earth, of the land. But what makes that the man be the crown of the creation? The verse continues and shows us another reality. This say that God breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. This fact shows us what makes a difference between us and the beasts, the animals. The fact that God breathed into the nostril of the man the breath of life. Elihu, one of the friends of Job, say, "But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand." God created the man in a different way than the animals. He breathed the breath of life that makes the man understand God. And that makes a big difference. The man can understand his creator. He can understand mainly God and his revelation. And that makes the man special in the creation. Man has some common characteristics with God because he was created in his image. And that's why he can have a relation with God. This must try. Al segundo punto.
nos trae al segundo punto.
This brings us to the second point, why we exist. The text continues and says that God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Sometimes, at least this was what happened to me. I was in the past think that the Eden was a garden. But the text don't say that. The text say that in the garden God put in Eden God put a garden in the east side of the garden. Some scholars say that the Eden was a mount, and that in the feet of the mount was the garden. They say this because the verse 10 say that from the garden comes a river who watered the garden, and from the garden the river was divided in another four rivers. The scripture commonly say that God lives in mounts like Zion. In this place, in the garden, God put the man. This garden was wonderful, beautiful, was prepared for the man. For the man could have fellowship with God in that place. To this place, to the garden, God comes to have fellowship with men. This is an implication of Genesis 3, verse 8, where we read that Adam and Eve heard that God was walking in the garden in the evening. I want to say that the garden in the Eden works like a temple, like a tabernacle, and that Adam served like a priest in the garden. There are some similarities in the garden with the tabernacle and the temple. The garden was a special place because the presence of God. We talked about this before, quoting Genesis 3:8. Leviticus 26, verses 11 and 12 says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Talking about the tabernacle, God says in 2 Samuel 7, 6, I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. The place where God is present is a special place. The garden, the tabernacle, and the temple. The garden was a place of work of the priests. Moses talked about the work of Adam in the garden, saying that God put him here to work it and keep it. These words, when they are used together, talk about the priest, or the work of the priest. Like in Numbers 3, 7, 8, that say, they shall keep word over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, as they minister at the tabernacle. They shall word all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep word over the people of Israel as they minister in the tabernacle. In this text, we found the same words that Moses uses to describe the word of Adam in the garden. Outside the most holy place, there was a lampstand, and that lampstand has the form of a tree, like the tree of life. If we remember that the images inside the temple, especially in 1 Kings chapter 7, chapter 6 and 7, we will find the images inside the temple was the images of a garden. There are flowers, there are fruits. It's interesting too that the way that the priest must walk to enter to the most holy place is from west to east. The way that Adam has to walk before the fall was from east to west. The priest is making the way back to the presence of God, of which Adam was expelled. This shows us why we exist. God put Adam in the garden to be in a relationship, in a close relationship with him. The garden was a place of worship. It was the place of the joyful meeting between the Creator and the creature. This place was the place where Adam worshiped the Lord, showing his love, his obedience. The verse 9 says that between all the beautiful trees that God put in the garden, there was two special trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of the good and the evil. Verses 16 and 17 say us that God make a covenant with Adam. The text says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This covenant is commonly called a covenant of works. In this covenant, God promised to Adam and his posterity, under the condition of personal, perfect, and eternal obedience, Adam was in a trial, in a test. His obedience, or the lack of the obedience, will bring consequences for all the human race. This could be seen like something unrighteous. Why God put Adam under a circumstances that could mean the spiritual death of all the human race? But in truth, this covenant shows us the justice and holiness of God. He can live with the disobedience of the perfect law. He can't live with sin. That's because he has to punish the sin. And that's because, in fact, he punished the sin. It's in this hate for the sin that we can see the holiness and the perfection of God. A God that don't hate sin is not a good God. God showed us the generosity with Adam, allow him to eat the fruit of all the beautiful trees that was in the garden, but he put two trees that serve as visible signs of the covenant. When Adam see these trees, he see the promise of the covenant, the life and the death. And this is part of the mercy of God. He gives us visible signs, because sometimes words are forgotten. God could create us without the necessity to eat. When he put feet in all tables every day, we can see what he makes all the time invisible in us. The trees, works in the garden has all sacraments. They are visible signs of what God makes in invisible ways. I think I not make a spoiler if I say what happened at the end of this test. Adam eats of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the sin entered into the world, and with the sin enter to the death. How this affects us? The scripture teaches that all the sons of Adam, we were represented with him in the covenant. All we are sinners. All we merecemos. We are worthy of the wrath of God because of all representants in the Eden. But the scripture talks too about a second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. He too is representant of a group of people. He fulfilled the covenant of word completely, perfectly. He was obedient in active forms, keeping all the God's commandments in personal and perfect ways. But he too, in a passive form, received the wrath of God that the break of the covenant deserve. This is for everyone who are represented by him, who enjoy the blessings of the work of covenants, the eternal life, the perfect fellowship with the Creator, the God that creates everything. Who are represented by this second Adam? Scripture says that those who believe in him, like as the Son of God, who came to take away the sin of the world, we can enjoy the benefits of his work. God created man for his worship. God created man to have a close communion, fellowship with him. God created man for the man walk with God. Sin, the sin of the first Adam, that is all sin too, broke this reality. He makes us far from the Holy God, but through Jesus Christ, we can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Jesus Christ, like the high priest, makes the way that back to the Eden, has his doors open again. The Apostle John makes us a description of what he says in the New Jerusalem, that place where all who believe in the second Adam will be. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the streets of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruits each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light, and they will reign forever in the ever. In this text, we see that we'll be in the garden where the tree of life is because of the work of Jesus. We will make the way back to the place that where God put the man in the first time. What Adam couldn't do, or don't do, what we can't do, Christ made for us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but for me. We must love our Lord Jesus Christ. He made everything that we can't. We must love his law, his word, because he died for us. His servants could glorify and enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord of heaven, we are very thankful because your word teaches that our Lord Jesus Christ made that the man couldn't do. We are sinners. We broke the covenant every day. We broke your commandments every day. We deserve your wrath over us. But Jesus Christ came to the world and he obeyed your commands. He received your wrath, and because of that, we can enjoy the blessing of the covenant. Help us to love the work of Christ. Help us to enjoy your blessings every day. Help us to see your work in our lives every day, because we need to see you in our lives. We need to be filled by your word. We need the safety that you give us by your word. Help us to have faith in the gospel and to rest in the work of the Lord Jesus.